We're going to be in Matthew chapter number 6. I'm really just going to read two verses of Scripture. Come on in, guys. Join the party. Come on in. We're just preparing, as they say, to strike a text. We're going to strike a text right here. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 6, and I know that when you read Matthew chapter 6 and you get into beginning in verse number 9, I'm going to read the first couple of verses, 9 and 10. And after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We know this is the beginning of the Lord's Prayer. I'm not going to break down the entire Lord's Prayer. I just want to talk about those two verses, the importance of those two verses, because it might be something that you've never thought about. It may be something that you have thought about and you understand the seriousness of the matter. But here's the question. Have you ever really thought about how difficult it is for us to pray and say, Lord, let your will be done? Do you understand what you're meaning when you say that? When you say that to God, do you know what you're really saying to Him? Okay, we're going to break it down a little bit and give you a couple thoughts, maybe something you've not thought about before. And by the end of this, I hope that you're going to be in a place to where you're going to think, I'm going to be very cautious and careful when I say that from now on, when I pray that way. When we pray, I know that Jesus said, He said, pray. When you pray, say that. Okay, so He told us to say it. It's not wrong to say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But I think He wants us to understand the depth of what we're actually lifting up, the phrase we're actually lifting up to God, because of what comes with that statement. So hopefully by the end of this, if you're not already there, you will be really cautious and aware of what that means when you pray. Because I know we've all done it. I've done it, haven't you? I prayed about a situation, and maybe I've had a way I wanted to go, or maybe I've not really understood which way I want to go. Lord, just let your will be done. Just let your will. And we throw it out there, don't we? We throw out, Lord, just let your will be done. The problem with that is this. We're throwing it out there because we're just expecting God's will to be done and Him to just do everything, and it completely takes all the pressure off us when we pray that way. That's why we enjoy saying, Lord, let your will be done. It goes a whole lot deeper than that. The word, I want to break down a couple of words. The word hallowed, when He says hallowed be thy name, means holy and pure. So He's acknowledging first who God is that He's praying to. Jesus saying, understand this is the Holy Father. He is pure. He is holy. He is spirit. Acknowledge first who it is you're praying to. Then He said, thy kingdom come. So when you're praying, you're asking the Father to let His kingdom come. What does that mean when you say thy kingdom come? It means you want His rule to come down. You want His power to come down. And thirdly, you want His dominion to come down. You want Him to dominate this world. That's when we say that, when Jesus said it, when He encouraged us to say it, that's the intention there, is for God to rule here, for God to have dominance here, for the power of God to be demonstrated here. That's what it means to say that. So it's a beautiful thing. It's a good phrase. It's a phrase taught to us by our Lord and Savior Jesus. It's part of the model prayer He gave us. So it is good to say it, but it's also important to understand what it really means when we say it. Okay, a couple of notes before we get into the expectations of praying such a prayer is, number one, God's will is done in heaven. Okay? Notice Jesus said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So He's telling us already the Father's will is done in heaven. It's not a maybe. The Father's will is done in heaven. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 53, thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and He shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? Jesus talking about when He was standing before Pilate and He was being quizzed and questioned, and He said, don't you think that if I just said something to my Father, He would send down 12 legions of angels? Just in a word. What does that tell us? It tells us, well, it tells us a lot about who Jesus is also, but it tells us about how things, the order of heaven, that if God thinks it, if God says it, if God intends for it, It's going to happen. I know what you're thinking, so I'm going to go ahead and talk about it. If God's will is always happening, how come Lucifer fell? How come he sinned in heaven? Okay. Gosh, it's going to cut in my time right here, Stacey. I'm gonna... But we're going to diverge for just a second to define this. That was an isolated event that's never going to happen again in heaven. Isolated event that's never going to happen again in heaven. Why do I feel like it's an isolated event? Because I feel like that the decision that Lucifer made and what we believe to be a third of the other angels that went with him and came down here and were cast out, that joined his party, all angels, all angelic beings, I believe, made their decision then. Their eternity is set. It's all fixed. There's not going to be another angel that's going to rise up and see his beauty as Lucifer did and rebel against God because their decision's already been made. So I look at that as an isolated event that will that their fate's taken care of. Every angelic being, every devil, all their decisions have been made then. They were made then. It's kind of like Moses drew the line in the sand. You go on that side or you come on this side. They made their choice. So all the angels that are in heaven now are locked in for eternity. There's never going to be another rebellion by any angelic being. There's nothing to point to such a thing. So you say, well, that still, though, is God's will always done in heaven. God allowed that to happen because it was going to happen. Could God have prevented it from happening? Well, absolutely could. God can do anything he wants to do. God allowed that to happen. We don't have time to get into all that is involved in the fall of Lucifer. That's a whole other subject, and it's changing from what I want us to talk about. But I'm wanting us to understand that, yeah, things are operating in heaven exactly the way God wants them to operate. God is in control. He's on the throne. Heaven is under his domain. And that's why Jesus said, pray for thy kingdom to come and thy will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, because it is there. It is good there. It is under God's control there. And God tells angels to do something, and they do it. They do it. So God's will is done in heaven. And secondly, God desires his will on earth. 1 Timothy 2, beginning in 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. God desires everybody to be saved, which means God desires for his will to be done on earth. 2 Peter 3, 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come into repentance. Again, that's God's will. God's will, he desires his will to be accomplished on this earth. It is in heaven, and we need to pray that it will be done here on earth because God desires it. Matthew 23, 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, and you would not. Why is God's will not done on earth like it is in heaven? Because there's sin here, because we, here's the biggest, one of the biggest problems that mankind faces in life. Choice. Let me think for just a second. If God were to actually make every choice for you, how wonderful would your life be? You'd reap the benefits of God's will being done, wouldn't you? But God allows us to be free moral agents. He allows us to choose. And so that's why God's will is not always done on earth as it is in heaven, even though we need to pray for it to be done, because we are given choice because of us having the ability to reason and to comprehend and to think and to act and to react on our own. It's because God allows that to happen. So choice is a big problem that we face. So we understand that God's will is done in heaven. We understand that God's desire is for his will to be done on earth. And Jesus is telling us to pray for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. So why, preacher, are you saying if all of these things are together and they're all true, why is it such a difficult thing to pray? Because there comes a responsibility and accountability. There are some things that we must meet in order to pray such a prayer. I got three things we're going to look through real quick. The first is this, what makes it difficult, is that it demands surrender. If you're going to pray, God, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, then that means you're going to surrender your will for His will in your life so that His will can be accomplished on earth as it is in heaven. Here's where it gets tricky, isn't it? It's where it gets, you know what? Praying for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven is personal. When we pray it, and I prayed a lot in the past, I never thought about it really being that personal, that I had something to do with God's will being done. I always expected if I pray that way, I'm just praying that I'm joining with you, God. Jesus, me and you, I'm backing you up, and I'm with you. We always think praying that way means I'm just on your side, and whatever you want to do is what I'm on board with doing. That's a great way to think, but I don't think it's practical when it comes to really desiring God's will to be done on this earth as it is in heaven. If I want God's will done on this earth, then I've got to do something about seeing that His will is accomplished on this earth. I've got to surrender. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Sounds to me like there's a little bit of involvement there, doesn't it? Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You ever read that verse? Why did he say that I need to present my body as a sacrifice and that is reasonable service? Do you know what reasonable service is? Average. That's what's least expected of us. So if he's saying the least thing God expects out of us in our life is to sacrifice ourselves for Him, then, whoa, my goodness, God really expects a lot out of us. He has a right to. He should. He expects everything from us. He expects complete and total surrender. Because He knows outside of complete and total surrender, we're going to be miserable because we're going to sin and we're going to fail God and we're going to get right back into the world that we just came out of. So he's saying, let that at least be a reasonable service to sacrifice yourself to God. We know we're not talking literally sacrifice. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So if we sacrifice ourselves to God spiritually, what happens? We begin to learn and know what the will of God is. If I'm praying for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, I don't even know what His will is, but I can learn His will by praying and sacrificing and surrendering myself. Romans 6, 3, know you not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus, were baptized into His death? So he's telling us there's a sacrifice on our part to be made. There's a surrender. There's a raising of the hands, a surrender that we need to make. If we're going to pray for God's will to be done, no, it comes with you surrendering your will for His will. Secondly, the cost. Matthew 16, 24 and 25. Then said Jesus unto the disciples, if any man will come after me, let him, listen to this, deny himself and take up his cross. Luke 9, 23 says daily there. And follow me, for whosoever will save his own life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. There's going to be a cost. If I want to pray, God, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, I've got to know that I'm expected to surrender to whatever that will is, and it will cost me something to be a part of that will being done. You see, God's will being done is not just us watching God work. Sometimes it is, but most of the time, it's us being involved in the process of God's will being done. You know, it's kind of like if we pray and pray and say, God, I really would like to see my neighbor get saved, and I'm just praying for your will to be done there, for them to get saved. You know, God may want you to go over and talk to them so they can get saved. See, God wants us to be involved in the process of His will being done. What good is it? And how do we experience any leap of faith or growth or anything in our relationship with God if we just pray for God's will to be done and it's just done and we have zero part in accomplishing anything for God? It's not that we save anybody. We know that. It's not that we do anything. We're just available and we're just a piece, a pawn. But God lets us be involved in what He's doing in His will so that we come away blessed, we come away enriched, we come away seeing God's hand at work, and our faith is grown by leaps and bounds. All this about God's will being done and praying that way, if we understand it requires surrender, if we understand that it has a cost, but we understand it's going to be worth it because we're going to be richly blessed because we're praying that way. Thirdly, it opposes the status quo. James 4:4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? You know what enmity is? Enmity is hatred. The world hates God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So know that if we're going to pray for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, it's going to take surrender on our part for His will to be done. It's going to cost us to be a part of the process of His will being done. And know that we are going against the grain of society when we pray for God's will to be done. Because the world does not, listen, the world does not want God's will to be done at all. Romans 8:7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. John 15:19, if ye were of the world would love his own, but because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. So we're hated. But if we're praying, God, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Understand now that it's going to cost you something, that we must surrender our will for God's will and understand that we're opposing society and the world when we pray that. So now that I've mentioned those few things, do you think a little bit differently now about if you pray, Lord, just let your will be done? You know what God's saying back to us if we're actually listening? Here's what He's saying. I want my will to be done, and here's what you're going to do to let my will be done. Here's the task for you to do in order for my will to be done. If we're praying about something, we want God to work in something, He is saying back to us, here's your part in it, here's your part in it, here's your part in it. You want my will to be done? Here's what I'm expecting out of you. But know this, it's not that God's just throwing rules at us and throwing demands at us and expectations, but know that God wants to bless us through the process, and the whole plan about us praying that way and the purpose of us obeying and submitting and surrendering and going against, opposing the world and perhaps sometimes stand alone, God is going to bless us beyond belief. And you know what we're going to get to see? We're going to get to see the hand of God at work. If we say, I want your will to be done, God, but we stand back here and say, I just want to sit over here and watch it, though. Look at all the things we're going to miss out on in our relationship with God. God wants more for you. He wants more for me. He wants us to pray, God, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But He also wants us to understand what it's going to cost us and what we're going to receive by obeying Him and surrendering to Him. Hope you look at that differently now.